I'm going to ask you guys a question. What is, without looking, what is your favorite Thanksgiving verse? And it has to have something about thanks or Thanksgiving in it. What was that? Give thanks to the Lord for... You're not sure where it is, though? Okay, that's fair enough. Anybody else, without looking? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? That's it, huh? Where's Conrad? Come on, Conrad. Psalm 136. Yes, amen. And we're not sure where that one is either, right? It's in a bunch of places. Yes, Carol. Yes, yeah. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Anybody else? He took 7 loaves and gave thanks. Okay. Anybody else? Well, if you're sort of struggling a little bit, scrambling to find a thanksgiving verse, you're not alone. I did an informal study this week, and I found out that for some reason, Thanksgiving scriptures or scriptures about giving thanks don't seem to be readily available. And don't seem to just pop right out and maybe are not as obvious. And I kind of expected that because when I was thinking about it, I was having the same issues. I would come up with verses like the exact ones you said, and a lot of them I couldn't remember where they were exactly. Or, you know, and then you start kind of going through that, and I'm like, that's really weird. But, you know... that's what I want to talk about tonight. And tonight's going to be a little shorter, by the way. And I'm going to give, we're going to have some time for all of you to share and participate. So tonight's a family Thanksgiving, and I'm really, really glad you came tonight because this, to me, this means a lot that we get together to give thanks. And especially, I know there's a lot going on with a lot of your baking and cooking and that kind of stuff. Ham or turkey? Ham people? That's it? Those are the non-Jewish people. Turkey? Mostly turkey, huh? Okay, dark meat. You know, turkeys don't come to church very often. Did you know that? Is there foul language? Anyway, so... cranberry or no cranberry? Hate cranberry. Okay, the last one. Pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie? Who's sweet potato? Nobody sweet potato pie? One? No. Okay, anyway, so here's the thing that I was thinking about. Thanksgiving, to my knowledge, we're the only country that celebrates Thanksgiving as a holiday. And are you putting your hand up? Yeah. Oh, okay. So I stand corrected. So kind of almost. I'll have to Google that and check Wikipedia on that. So... But yeah, think about this for a second. Think about Thanksgiving is a godly thing. It's at the core of Christianity. It's at the core of godliness. And that thankfulness, as we're going to see in a second, it's the key that unlocks the goodness of God experientially in our life. Think about that. And yet, it's not always the most popular thing. I mean, before Thanksgiving, Christmas stuff's already up and out. And as soon as Thanksgiving's over, what happens? Black Friday. But that's how Thanksgiving is sometimes. I think that's kind of how thankfulness is looked at in the Bible. We talk a lot about faith and love and prayer and supplication and fellowship, but thankfulness. If you guys will look in your Bibles and turn to the page 929 or Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Now, I find something really amazing here. In Luke chapter 22, this is my favorite Thanksgiving verse, by the way, this is probably not a one that's picked out a lot. Look at verse 17. For he, Jesus, took the cup and gave thanks. And he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then here it is. This is one I want to look at tonight. And he took bread. And he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus here is the example that I want to look at for Thanksgiving. And if you're taking notes, I'm calling this Thanksgiving from the inside out. Or I was thinking about calling it stuffed Thanksgiving. Because what happens a lot is it's harder to be genuinely thankful in our hearts. And when we read verses, like Carol pointed out, that we're to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, that we can say thank you a lot, but to have a heart that is truly thankful. You know, inside that you're just feeling so grateful and so thankful. This is the attitude of Thanksgiving. This was the attitude of Jesus right before he was going to go to the cross to suffer for sins. Think about that. Jesus, as an example, with his disciples in the upper room, he's telling them and explaining to them that that bread is going to be him. It's going to be an example for them. He's explaining to them, and they weren't getting it, and they had a hard time through his whole ministry of understanding why he had to suffer. But he takes his bread and he takes it and he gives thanks and then he breaks it. Within that small statement, we find a treasure chest of gold in how a Christian should live their life. He received. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. Everything that we have has been received by God. Now, as we unfold this verse, that word thanks, this is when it gets really exciting. That word thanks that Jesus used contains within it the word we use for grace. So Jesus uses that word thanks. That word in Greek is Eucharist. Eucharist has the word charis in it, C-H-A-R-I-S, which means grace. Jesus, as he's giving thanks, understands and knows that he is the recipient of God's goodness. That as he received his ministry, he received that bread. Every big thing, every little thing, it was a gift of God to him. And within that word Eucharist, which contains that word charis, which means grace, also contains a derivative of that word, get this, which means joy. So we unpack that word. Thanks is the recognition of everything that we have as a gift. And that recognition in our heart brings about joy. Now, how does a person, how do you get to be a person who just doesn't give thanks, but is truly thankful? Truly thankful. I want to give you just a few things before we open this up to give you an opportunity to give thanks. Notice this. The first thing, if we are truly going to be thankful people, like in our hearts, experience the grace and the joy of God through thanksgiving, the first thing is we have to understand expectation. Our expectations could be one of the biggest roadblocks or barriers to our experience of God's goodness. What do you mean by that? Probably right now, as you're sitting here, you have in your mind the way tomorrow's going to go. You're probably thinking about what you're going to do, who you're going to do it with, when they're going to come over, probably thinking about what you're going to make, and you're thinking about all the interactions and if the Cowboys are going to win. And you got all these. But here's the thing that we do. This is what I want to encourage you in, because life is a series of unscripted events, our script. Life is not linear. Life is not direct. Life is full of twists and turns and curves and misunderstandings. And here's what happens. When we have our expectations, we are setting ourselves up for disappointment. And do you know that's why the Bible says that we're not to worry about the things of tomorrow. Today has enough concerns of its own. And we're not to say next year we're going to do this and next year we're going to do that. But we're to say if the Lord wills, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. When we set up expectations, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. So what do you mean? What do you do? What we do, and Paul said it, our goals should be God. Paul said, I press forward to the upward calling. His goal was Christ. It's okay to have ambition. It's okay to make plans. It's okay to kind of plot out your future. But don't attach your joy to that. Attach your joy to expecting God to do great things his way. And expect that it's probably going to be different than your own way. So the first thing, if we're going to be truly thankful, is to have our expectations expecting God things and not our things. The second thing then is observation. If you're taking notes, there's a lot of shins in there. Observation. So, expectations, and then observation. What do you mean? God has implanted gifts all around us. The world is a treasure chest of unfolding gifts of grace if we will take time to look for them. If we will look for them in creation, in people, in circumstances, in events, we will see the fingerprint of God's grace all around us. But you know what happens? Usually we're preoccupied with the cares and concerns of the world that we forget to set our heart and mind on things above and not on the things of earth. So not only are we to have our expectations the same as God, but we are also to look for and be intentional about observing the things that God is doing all around us. The third thing is celebrating. Celebration. Celebration is, the definition is, a point in time where we take pleasure in a certain event. We have, as Christians, the ultimate reason to constantly celebrate. And celebration, then, is basically rejoicing in what God has done and who He is. And that is a continual opportunity for us. A continual opportunity to celebrate the goodness of God, His gift of grace. The fourth thing is communication. Communicating to God Almighty through prayer. Somebody quoted it earlier, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God." In our prayer, when Paul says with thanksgiving, he's saying when we pray and give thanks, we're already acknowledging His goodness and His plan, and we're accepting it as the best thing for us. And so when we're praying, we're saying thank you. We're not saying thank you for the result necessarily. We're saying thank you that the result will be perfect and good and pleasing and acceptable, for you withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. And then the fifth thing is crucifixion. To be truly internally thankful is to think much about what Christ has done for us. To think much upon the cross. May I say this? The greater our thoughts about God, the greater our thankfulness will be. Could it be that our lack of thankfulness is because of our lack of thinking much about God? I had to think about that myself. The deep thoughts of God, who He is and what He has done, ultimately displaying that incredible demonstration of love for us. That while He was on the cross, He died for us. You know what that does? I like to think of the cross in those crossroads in my life. That if I would put the cross in the place of the crossroad, then I will have hope in the crossroad. A cross tells us there's ultimate hope. The cross answers all the questions that we'd ever have, explains how God thinks about us, what He's willing to do for us, and what He's going to continue to do. Whenever we're at a crossroads, insert the cross and it'll make the bitter waters sweet. The last thing, if we're going to be truly thankful, it's going to be thinking about meditating upon destination, our ultimate destination. That in light of everything here on earth, we are looking at it in comparison to eternity with Jesus. All throughout this time we've had together here, we have been marching closer to eternity. As that clock ticks, we get one step closer. And as my good friend Jim Hill used to say, one step closer to eternity. Jesus, he understood that. He took that bread. He gave thanks. Can we pray about being the most thankful people on the face of the earth? Can we commit that to God? That we would live our life in the constant expectation of God's goodness and the reality of who he is. May we be in awe of God. And may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing to the Lord. May we have a thanksgiving that can't be contained. May we have a thanksgiving that oozes grace and joy from our pores. Because you know what? I think God is worthy of that. For he is good, and his love endures forever. Amen? So what I would like to do, we're going to pray, and then we're just going to open it up for maybe the next 15 minutes and give you a chance to give thanks. Say something that you're thankful for. And I just ask that you would say it so people across the room could hear you. And let's just take this time to tell God what we think and let the rest of the body be ministered to through what God's doing in each of our lives. So let me pray. And then we'll just open it up for the next few minutes or so. Lord, we thank you so much, for you are good. I thank you, Lord, that we see so much in your Bible, in your word, about what you've done for us, Lord. And it's only reasonable, natural, it's only logical that when we contemplate the enormity of your grace, that we would be thankful people in whatever season of life we're in. And so, Lord, I pray for us here today. I know sometimes it's hard. We go through hard things. There's a lot of hard, bad news in our world that we're constantly bombarded with. And we personally experience hard things. But we can see, Lord, that it wasn't the hard things that deterred you from giving thanks. And so let us open up, Lord, the floodgates of grace by giving you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so it's on you guys now. Thank you. Well, I'm rubber and you're glue, so whatever you say bounces off me and sticks on you. So, praise the Lord for that.
Thank you. that you're blessing. And I want to thank you too tonight for what you're going to continue to do with the Lord and for your promise that day that you're calling home.
Just a few more minutes. Don't be shy. Let's go ahead and bring the worship group up, and while they're coming up, if we could just say one word of something you're thankful for, and I'll start it. Love. Love.